Okay, our next speaker is Dr. Tom Beckman from USDA ARS in Georgia, the fruit, the Southeastern Fruit and Tree Nut Lab.
That's it. Yay. Thank you. Some people refer to us as the Fruit and Nut Lab, but we're kind of sensitive about that. I'm going to talk a bit about, well, really my career is what it comes down to. I started with the USDA in 1988. My primary job assignment has been for rootstock development, which in Georgia means peaches. We've had some serious problems that really had plagued the industry for several decades prior to my arrival. And I'd like to think that myself and my colleagues, we've made some real progress on this. And that's what I want to talk to you about and where we got our variability from that we needed to build better rootstocks. When I started, this is what the situation looked like for tree longevity. A 25-year-old tree was extraordinarily rare. Average life in Georgia and South Carolina had run down to about 7 and 9 years, respectively. When you consider we have an expected tree life of about 15 years, this was totally unacceptable. And this had some real cost. Why were the trees dying so soon? I was very fortunate. There was a good deal of extension data that had been collected over the years. Unfortunately, none of this data is being collected anymore, but it was a godsend for me. When he looked at tree losses, premature tree losses, over half of them were due to peach tree short life, and I'll show you what that looks like in just a moment. Another 35% to armillaria root rot, soil-borne fungus. Everything else, root knot nematodes, crown gall, water logging, you name it, 15%. Okay, you're going to be a rootstock breeder, what are you going to work on? Pretty easy with information like this available to you. And I was very grateful to the extension folks who put this together for us. And to give you an idea of the impact, this is a $100 million industry, farm gate value, at least it was at that point in time. And every year they were losing $8 to $10 million of short life and 5 to 6 in lifetime production losses. That's the value of the crop that's lost that year and the value of the crop that it might have produced had it lived out to 15 years. Fairly reasonable way of looking at it. So these are not trivial losses. You know, that's 12 to 15, $18 million a year. Can't live with this. All right, peach tree short life. Number one problem for us at the time. It's not unknown elsewhere. It's a significant problem in California where they call it bacterial canker complex. I've seen it in Australia and Brazil, but it's not worldwide in its distribution. Primarily bacterial canker is the cause of the final tree mortality. Symptoms, I can just show them to you. You see it in the spring. This is a very peculiar disease. Trees can look perfectly normal the year before. You don't see this coming. In the spring, trees start to break bud. Sometimes you'll see this leakage. You can smell this. We refer to this as sour sap. Shortly after the foliage and the bloom breaks, you start to see this collapse. Then you'll start finding necrotic lesions, bacterial canker usually. These will run down the trunk to the ground line, not below. It has nothing to do with the graft union. What this leaves you with is an above-ground portion of the tree dead, and if the root system is capable of suckering, this is what you end up with. You've lost your tree. Armillaria. This is a problem of more widespread nature. Around the world, it's principally associated with armillaria mellea. We have this in the southeast, but here we're primarily plagued by A. tubescens. Symptoms? Well, this one, the trees can die pretty much any time of year, but we typically see it during a stressful period like our late summer droughts that we'll see. So we'll see the trees start to stop growing, color in the leaves will change, start to see them die back, collapse. This one's pretty easy to diagnose because here you have a smoking gun. You cut the bark on the lower portion of the tree just below the ground line, so you've got a mycelial mat there. That's the armillaria fungi. Later on, you'll oftentimes see a cluster of mushrooms at the base of the tree. If you see a cluster of mushrooms in an orchard, I can guarantee you it's going to be associated with a dead or dying peach tree. It has a very wide host range, associated with hardwoods in general, and it's become a real significant problem for our industry. All right, so where do you begin? You got two problems causing a mess. I'd come in 88. Well, where do we begin? Well, I was very fortunate. The trial had already been in place. I keep coming back to this one because this was of seminal importance to the establishment of my breeding program and identifying material to work with. This was the first really large-scale screen of Prunus material for its tolerance to Peachtree short life. Most of the previous studies have been small little groups of known rootstocks, released rootstocks, a few advanced selections from some modest breeding programs and such, and a few other little odds and ends. We weren't finding anything. Nothing. Nothing was better than our standard rootstock at the time, Lovell. This was a really big investment. Over 8,000 trees at two sites in the southeast. High density, low input. So what happened? After 9 years, we had killed off a mess of trees, about 80-90% of them. 144 lines. Lovell is our standard for comparison. Out of 144 lines, we had one that was significantly better. We had found a needle in a haystack. It was BY520-9. Its sibling line, BY520-8, was, I guess, a number two or number three performer. And you can see it was still a long way off from the top of the list. You know, most everything out there was junk. And Yunnan was one of the known rootstocks. It was one of the worst of them down near the bottom of the list. We had quite a wide range of variability, but unfortunately, it was not at the right end of the spectrum. It was mostly the junk class. All right. So in 1993, Guardian was released, peach seedling rootstock. Very good resistance to Peachtree short life. It turned out much better than we had dared dream. Resistant to some root knot nematodes, which are also a problem in this area. We have several species we have to work with. I'm not going to say much about those today, just time will not permit. But highly susceptible to R. malaria, like most peach seedling rootstocks. So Guardian went out. And Guardian was quite a success story, where Peachtree short life was the principal problem. But everywhere it ran into R. malaria, it would fail. Now what do you do? All right. Well, amongst peach seedling rootstocks, there really was not much of anything that was going to be of use for R. malaria. We already knew that. The trial at Byron, and this is a really old slide, but I keep using it. We had a lot of R. malaria pop up in the trial. At first, we thought this was a real disaster because every one of those trees that dies from R. malaria is lost to the data set. You know, it's not a cause of interest. Well, wait a second. Maybe it is a cause of interest. This is all condensed down. And what this shows is the yellow portion of the bar is the percentage of trees that died to short life. Red is R. malaria, and blue is all other potential causes, and there are quite a few other things that can happen. 520-9, top of the list, very low losses to Peachtree short life, but rather high losses to R. malaria. Pretty comparable to the other peach rootstocks in here, like Lovell, which is actually a little bit better. Nemegard, and the overall performance of all 118 lines in this particular trial. Real standout was we had 8 plum lines in this trial. 7 of them were clustered at the top of the list, right around Guardian. What did those 7 have in common? They all have native North American plums in their pedigree. The outlier, number 8, did not. Here's a clue. Something useful. That group of plums formed the core of my breeding program for several years as plum parents to use for breeding materials resistant to R. malaria in addition to Peachtree short life. That trial, what we thought was a disaster, turned out to be a real blessing in the long run. Plums. Unlike peaches, plums are generally self-infertile, so they're very heterozygous. And this is a good, this is just a nice visual example of the heterozygosity that you get, the variabilities you see in plums. Peaches are largely self-pollinated. They're functionally inbred. Not a lot of variability to work with. So plums are a great resource. A lot of good can come from this. And a lot of junk, too. And you'll see what we had to sort through as I go on with the talk. So plums it is. Interspecific hybrids. Of plums with plums. Plums with peaches. What am I hoping to get out of it? Short life resistance. Yeah. R. malaria, nematode resistance, tolerance to other abiotic stresses like waterlogging and things like that. A lot of potential good can come out of this. So this is where we focused our efforts in the breeding program. Old data set. Keep coming back to it. This was planted in 2000. These are the results after 12 years on a really hot R. malaria and short life site. Guardian, down here, is our standard rootstock. First column is percent alive. At 12 years, 2%. That's one tree, by the way. There are 50 trees in here. Next column is R. malaria, then short life, and then everything else that can go wrong, which in this case included not only some diseases, but graft compatibility failures. Quite a bit of variation. These were all elite lines. The MPs are plumbed by peach crosses. The MHs are just plumbed hybrids, more than one species. Sharp, by the way, is also a plum hybrid rootstock. So Guardian is the only true peach in here. Now, aside from these other losses, and a lot of these are graft compatibility issues that were happening with these particular lines, the short life losses, none of those differences are significant. So largely the tree losses, once you get past establishment losses in a couple of these lines and these graft compatibility, it's really the armillaria losses that are killing this block out. This is the timeline for all of those rootstocks. Now, that's a tad cluttered, obviously, so let me simplify this a little bit, and we'll just go with the top three performers in Guardian. All right. What does all this mean? Well, if you're asking a grower about when does a rootstock fail, or when does a block fail, most of them will tell you, well, at about 50% occupancy, they're going to pull the block and replace it. Well, Guardian crossed that line at 6 years on this site. Now, when you consider the peaches don't usually start yielding until third leaf, that's not a very long productive lifespan. You can't make money with a situation like that. Now, keep in mind, this is a very hot site. Three best performers in here. Sharp was released in 2007, I believe. Crossed that line at 10 years. MP94, one of the hybrids I created. A year later, MP29, a year after that. So technically all these have failed already here at 12 years. I'm coming up on this year will be the 15th year. I'm just going to carry it out full length just for the principle of the thing. Best material I had at the time. Not bad, but still not what I want. Somebody once asked me what the criteria should be, and I just pulled a number out of the air. I said, 90% survival at 15 years. I'm running a little short. All right. Now, rootstock breeding, you got something that lives. All right, that's a big deal. Live trees work a lot better in an orchard than dead trees. Take my word for it. Now starts the real heavy lifting. We start with nursery performance. You've got to be able to propagate it. So either you have to have good seed germination if you're working with peach seedling lines, and I still am doing some of those. Most of the material I work with has to be clonally propagated now. You have to have good vigor, few branches, just for ease of budding. You have to have good graft compatibility. Graft compatibility can be as big an issue as any of the disease problems I've already talked to you about. Graft union failure results in a dead tree. Not much you can do about it either. You can't spray anything for it. All right. So that's nursery performance. I'm not going to say too much about this, but I am going to mention graft compatibility a little bit later. Then we move on to field performance. How's it going to perform in a grower setting? Anchorage. I won't say too much about this because I don't see too many failures. Those that I have seen were quite spectacular. I should have left that slide in here. But appropriate vigor. Now, what is appropriate vigor? If you ask the current growers what they think appropriate vigor for a rootstock would be, it would be about the same as a standard peach seedling rootstock. That's all they've used. I'm going to make a case for something a little different. You also have to have good yields and fruit size and want minimal rootstock suckering. Now, that's not everything, but that's pretty much what we're working on evaluating because we do see useful variation in this in our program. So, productivity, vigor. Until recently, we didn't have much range in vigor. Most of the peach seedling rootstocks were within about 10 or 20% of each other, just a nice little cluster. But that's all changed now. This reduced vigor offers some real possibilities, I think, too, for production efficiencies, much like M9 gave apples as in comparison to seedling rootstocks. If they're easier to manage, they're smaller trees, fewer water sprouts, less pruning, you name it. Downside is, I got to plant more trees per acre. And boy, the growers sure noticed that right away when I talked about this. All right, so there's some pluses and minuses potentially here. So let's look at vigor. This is the same set of rootstocks I showed you earlier for survival. This is out of a horticultural trial. This is an 11-year running trial, which was concluded in 2011. This is the trunk cross-sectional area, which is what we use as our measure of vigor. From top to bottom, most vigorous to least. All right, Guardian is our standard, so that's 100% percent of standard. We've got a few that are a little bit larger, and then we start getting down about 90%. That's about the size of Lovell rootstock, which used to be the standard. Let me get down a little, 83, 74. Now we're down to semi-dwarf characters, 55%. That's a dwarf. That's a really different tree. Number of suckers, I'll just talk briefly here. These differences are not significant, although a grower would focus on that zero there. He wants none. That's 12 in 11 years, on average, per tree, 135 trees per acre, and every one of them's got to be removed by hand. Well, or you burn them off a paraquat if you're lucky. Pain in the butt. Not the end of the world, but a pain. Now let's deal with productivity. In terms of precocity, there probably are some useful differences here in some of the material, but for the most part, peach is inherently a precocious crop as compared to many others. It's most peaches will come into bearing in 3 years on most of the rootstocks. I don't see a lot of really useful variation in my material, but crop load, there's something important. Cropping efficiency, which is a different way of looking at crop load, and fruit size, and here's where I'm going to spend a little bit of time on the data. This slide is organized the same as the previous one in vigor from most to least. First column is cumulative yield over 11 years, kilograms per tree. Doesn't look like much, people who look at peaches, but got to keep in mind, we had to play a few games here. This data has to be collected by hand. Replicated field trials for yield. Repeated harvest. Where does the labor come from for that? Well, we decided to go with a two-arm open center tree, essentially a half a tree. Okay, I'm cheating a little bit. Sue me. But it made it possible to actually get this data. So looking at cumulative yield per tree, this doesn't really begin to tell the story, because remember, there's a huge difference in tree size from top to bottom. So a fairer way to look at this is cumulative yield efficiency over the course of the trial, kilograms per centimeter squared trunk cross-sectional area. So the smaller trees get acknowledged for their better yield. All right, let me just... When you do it this way, when you compare it to Guardian, about 0.5 is pretty much average for most of the peach seedling rootstocks that I've tested. You notice there's some that are really at the head of the class, 0.68, 0.81. These are statistically significant differences. These trees are inherently more productive. I didn't really expect this out of peach. I didn't think we'd see that much of a gain, I'm presuming because we're reducing fruit, the tree size. Not sure that's all there is to it. When these trees close their canopy, in this particular trial it happened at about 5 years, these trees actually, you know, trees on MP29 actually started out producing the trees on Guardian, even though the trunks were smaller on a per tree basis. This would suggest that there's something to be gained by planting these at a higher density in productivity on a per acre basis. Wouldn't have expected that. Of course, there's losers. This one's not statistically significant, but that's pretty low. This is Sharp, which was released in 2007. At the time it was released, its cumulative yield efficiency was not significantly different, I guess would be the way to put it, from Guardian. So we're kind of hoping that, well, that means there's no difference, right? 2 years later, there was. Good timing. That didn't help Sharp's reputation at all, because as it's turned out, its yield efficiency has gradually dropped off the charts. Bad timing. That's a warning, by the way, in rootstock development. Take your time. Now, you might be wondering why there's no data for this particular line. That particular line taught me another lesson. I do a short-term compatibility test in the first couple of years of making a selection. Well, I'm also doing a root knot nematode test because I can do these really quickly before I invest in a 7-year peach tree short life test and a 5 to 7 year armillaria test and a 10-year yield study. Okay, I want to know I'm working with good material. This one fooled me. The short-term compatibility test, tree looked fine. 5 years out, instead of, you know, run that test for 3 years, by the way. 5 years out, I started losing trees randomly. 6, 7, 8 years out, I'm losing all my trees. Delayed grafting compatibility. You don't want it. So anyway, that one failed. Now, average fruit size. Here's another issue that's of no small importance. Average fruit size here that's nearly 150 grams, about 2 3/4 inch peach, industry standard. These four lines are all giving up 10 to nearly 20% an average fruit size. You cannot live with that. So between low productivity and poor fruit size, some of these lines, like NP94, one of the best surviving lines I had, full-size tree, will not cut it commercially, I don't believe. I've got better material coming. Do I have a minute?
1 minute.
All right. I'm going to work really quick here. Okay. Peaches were slow to come to the table on breeding. Apples really led the way for a long time. In the last 10, 15 years, they've really come along because we're catching up. There's a lot of new rootstocks out there that are making their way into the commercial stream. But right now, this is what the mix looks like commercially in the United States. Guardian, for those people who need it on short life sites. Lovell or Halford, usually Halford here, for those that don't in the southeast. Nemegard's really popular in California. Florida Guard's down in Florida where they have to have its unique nematode resistance. Sharp is failing. It'll never make it commercially. Homeowners, maybe. MP29 is now in commercial production. That's a rehash of the yield data. MP29 can match or exceed Guardian everything that has to do with yield or fruit size. First grower trial we did, super hot site. Give me 30 more seconds. This is important. But let me talk. 5 years in, 42% of the trees in Guardian, only 42% are still alive. It has failed in 5 years on a commercial site. That is a major failure. Why? 48% of the trees died from our malaria on that site. 10% to other causes. MP29, not a single tree had died from our malaria short life. I would have loved to have kept the trial. The grower had a buyer for the land. He wasn't going to use it again. He sold it. We had to pull it. The odd thing was Sharp. Couldn't understand all these losses. And we had anomalously high vigor for Sharp. Bell should have gone off immediately. Went out and inspected the trees. The crew had set some of those trees too low in the ground, buried the graft unit. They cyan-rooted. No peach cyan, no peach variety I know of has any resistance to our malaria or short life. That's why those trees failed. Another warning. Anything that can go wrong, will go wrong. All right, I'm done. Any questions?